Corus had appreciated the underpriest's forbearance, and he suspected that his reaction, when he finally set eyes on Hornet for the first time, had constituted a sort of reward for Tanner's patience. He'd actually stopped dead, gazing at the ice boat in astonishment. Despite all the descriptions he'd heard, he hadn't been prepared for the reality when he saw the rakish vessel sitting there on the gleaming steel feet of its huge, skate-like runners. The mere thought of how much each of those runners must have cost was enough to give a man pause, especially if the man in question had first-hand experience in things like foundry costs, because he'd recently been involved in an effort to build a galleon-based, cannon-armed navy from scratch. Again, though, he'd realized he was looking at an example of the church's enormous financial resources. Ice boats like Hornet weren't just exorbitantly expensive. They were also highly specialized propositions, and their sole function was to cross Lake Pei after the enormous sheet of water had frozen solid. It was almost 450 miles from Lakeview to Zion, and every year, when winter truly set in, the lake became only marginally navigable. Indeed, once it had fully iced over, it was completely closed to normal shipping, and ice boats became the only way in or out of Zion. They couldn't begin to carry the amount of cargo conventional ships could, so a vast fleet would have been required to ship in any significant supply of foodstuffs or fuel, which meant neither Zion nor the temple could count on importing large amounts of either from their usual southern sources after the lake had begun freezing in earnest. But at least some freight, mostly luxury goods, and quite a few passengers still needed to cross, regardless of the season. And Mother Church had a monopoly where ice boat ownership was concerned. Hornet herself looked a great deal like a church courier galley on enormous skates. There were some differences, yet her courier ship ancestry had been clearly recognizable. And made some sense, Corus had supposed, given that there were occasions, especially early in the ice season, when, as Tanner had suggested, it wasn't unheard of for one of the ice boats to encounter a still open lead of unfrozen lake water. Or, for that matter, to rather abruptly discover that a sheet of ice was thinner than it had appeared. The ability to float in an instance like that was undoubtedly a good thing to have. Corus had never heard of something a native of Old Terra would have called a hydrofoil, but in many respects, that would have been a reasonable analog for what he was looking at. Hornet's outriggers extended much farther beyond the footprint of her hull, because unlike a hydrofoil, they had to plane across the surface of the ice rather than relying on hydrodynamics for stability. Aside from that, however, the principle was very much the same, and as he'd looked at the ice boat's lean, rakish grace, he'd realized Hollis Tanner was exactly the right sort of man to captain such a vessel. In his case, at least, the church had slipped a round peg neatly into an equally round hole, and Corus had found himself wondering just how typical of the Lake Pei ice boat captains Tanner truly was. The underpriest's pride in his command had been readily apparent, and the Earl's obvious admiration, or awe at least, had clearly gratified him. His crew's cheerfulness at seeing him had also been apparent, and they'd gotten Corus, Sea Blanket, and their baggage moved aboard and settled quickly. "The wind looks good for a fast passage, my lord," Tanner had told him, as the two of them stood on Hornet's deck, looking out across the frozen harbor. Despite the snow which had fallen overnight, wind had kept the ice scoured clear, and Corus had been able to see the scars of other ice boats' passages leading across the wide, dark sheet of ice and out through the opening in the Lakeview breakwater. At the moment, there had seemed to be very little breeze stirring at dockside, however, and he'd quirked an eyebrow at the underpriest. "Oh, I know there's not much wind right here," Tanner had replied with a grin. "Out beyond the breakwater, though, once we get out of Lakeview's lee, Trust me, my lord, there's plenty of wind out there.
I'm quite prepared to believe it, Corus had replied. But just how do we get from here to there?
Courtesy of those, my lord. Tanner had waved a hand, and when Corus turned in the indicated direction, he'd seen a team of at least 30 snow lizards headed for them. They'll tow us out far enough to catch the breeze, Tanner had said confidently. It'll seem like that takes forever, but once we do, I promise, you'll think we're flying.